Nick Bradley here. Now, it's a fair assumption of mine to believe that if you've bought this audio product, then you have a healthy amount of passion, focus, work ethic, and even ambition for your game. Now, I want to give you a word of warning about ambition. And it came to me in a conversation I had with TEDMED creator Richard Sol Wurman about 35,000 feet above the Arizona desert en route to LA. What he said created a big paradigm shift for me, and I can say without hesitation that it totally freed me up mentally in many aspects of my life. And I know that for some of you, this shift would be just as effective and in some cases desperately needed. He was asking about my career, and I happened to mention that I've been and still was highly ambitious as a golf performance consultant. I said that I'd had my successes, but I feel that the best is yet to come because of my knowledge and my ambitious nature. And with that, Richard stopped me. He smiled, looked at me dead in the eye, and said that I should never use the word ambition again. My reaction then was probably the same as yours is now. What on earth are you talking about? Well, Richard continued and went on to say that a man or a woman can be ambitious for their whole lifetime and career time, and yet actually achieve very little, and more often nowhere near where their ambition had projected their future image. He continued, "What you should be more concerned about, Nicholas, is simply in the act of carrying out good work every day." He then smiled and delivered the punchline. "Let them simply say at the end of your career that he must have been an ambitious man. Just look at his achievements and career record and contribution." So, over the next couple of days, whilst what he had said made some sense to me, I still didn't get the picture or get his message in its clearest form. And then about a week later, it arrived by MindPost. Very clearly, like my subconscious had gone away and worked it out. Ambition focuses your emotion and desire into the end result, the end picture. It is my ambition to be the next great golf coach. It is my ambition to own a Porsche. Or it's my ambition to play great today. The danger of ambition lies in the fact that it makes no reference to the process that ultimately gets you there, to your desire, your goal. The day-to-day good work that Richard talked to me about was in fact the parts of the jigsaw you must assemble to make the whole picture. Great analogy. A jigsaw puzzle. You look at the picture on the front of the box as your wish or your ambition, but you still have to recreate that image with the pieces available to you. The goal and ambition is only realized through your bit-by-bit process, your piece-by-piece process, your moment-to-moment good work. So many of you guys do have the right intention and ambition. I know you want to play well. I know you have personal pride. I know you want to better your last performance. But from your burning ambition and intent, you have to go straight, and I mean straight, into process, this bit-by-bit good work that will eventually portray you as someone who had ambition when all is said and done. Be ambitious with your golf today, guys, but don't circumvent the work, focus, and process that precedes glory and achievement. Now, why did I start you off with this story about ambition? Because whilst it's good to have an aggressive intention, which is what ambition is all about, during your round today, your practice session tomorrow, or your club championship next week, you must immediately embark upon the process and the assembly of that desire and ambition. The how you will shoot that round today is the most important reality of great golf. If you've been guilty of ambition overload and blocking out great rounds, listen to my Front Loading the Mind audio tool. It will really give you the skills to piece it all together. Stephen Covey conveyed in his famous work, The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, that in order to have a public victory, external, you must first have your private victory, personal. This is 100% true of golf. I have had experiences mainly at tour level where, as the very last turn of the screw is initiated in a golfer's development, and also when a successful breakthrough is imminent, by the way, a personal and deeper past experience or destructive viewpoint or mindset is exposed and sabotages that final challenge and that all-important private victory. In golf, it often pays to work harder on yourself than you do your swing. Let me say that again. It often pays to work harder on yourself than you do your swing. Or, as William H. Johnson said, if it is to be, it's up to me. Well, listen, it's up to you. It's up to you to always be in control and think clearly about the situations you will inevitably face here and now or in the future. Golf is all about clear and present thinking from holes 1 to 18. The ignition switch for this thinking, the entrance into thought clarity, is to inhale, breathe, and regulate sense and sensibility back into your system. During an interview Nick Faldo gave after he had won the 1987 Open Championship at Muirfield, he said that sometimes it was possible to feel great and then play lousy. And other times, you can tee off while not firing on all cylinders yet shoot a great score. No question, Nick was talking about the physical aspect of his golf being either lousy or great, but there were obviously, other elements that could influence the outcome of the round ahead of you or him. American businessman Charles Luckman probably said it best like this: success is simply that old ABC, ability, breaks, and courage. No question that to have a great round, there are certain breaks that might need to go your way, and when they don't, just remember when things have gone your way. Understand that all breaks equate out in the end, and all breaks play fair for everybody. Meet a bad break with humor and a good break with gratitude. That's all, because it's nothing personal. So, do rounds of golf have patterns themselves? Are they like acts 1, 2, 3, 4 in a theater production, or do you yourself shift gears as the round develops and moves on? Well, a round of golf isn't static, is it? It's organic, like you. It moves and it changes, feels different at certain times. So yes is the answer. Yes, you should have different perspectives at the beginning, the middle, and the end of your round. Of course you will feel vastly different standing on the first tee as opposed to walking up to the 18th green. So today, how does the momentum of the mind, as I call it, best work during a round of golf? What accurate perspectives can you employ and believe in every time you peg it up? I want to come back to that statement I said a second ago, the momentum of the mind. There are three personas and accompanying perspectives that gear through every round of golf. And it's the same for you too. You have the child. You have the strategist. And then finally, you morph into the sage. This, as you can appreciate, does indeed mirror life itself. You were a child, and then you have to strategize in middle age, and then you hopefully become older and wiser. So, when you tee off, I want your outlook on the round to be very childlike. A child, it has no expectations. It takes life as it comes. Its natural programming is to have fun. A child is upbeat, insanely optimistic, and happy to be doing any activity. And this is where you should be too. Be happy doing your good work and accept everything as an experience. This is not to say you don't try, but the lens you are going to view your first six holes through today should be that of a six-year-old child embarking upon an adventure. From holes 7 to 13, the lens can change and indeed should do, because this is the point in the round where you become a strategist, a businessman, a manager, or a general with his army who has to determine whether he aggressively challenges because you or it is playing well, or whether you retreat and go into damage limitation mode and limp back to the clubhouse. This section of holes are critical because you strategize according to the way you have been playing, but you also strategize for the holes you have yet to play. So the middle of the round is reflection and middle-aged management. What dancer have you brought to the golfing dance today? With the end in sight, whether you are playing well or not, you need to have that wise old owl, golfing sage head on your shoulders. You must be wise enough at this stage in the game to bring this score home, whatever state it is in. The headless golfer who approaches these last few holes under par will certainly press beyond his or her capabilities and blow the whole deal. Conversely, the sage, the experienced golfer in this round, will display a mature and controlled discipline of the mind until the last putt has been dropped. So yes, you could say that a round of golf is a snapshot of one's life. The child, at the beginning, happy-go-lucky and non-caring. The strategist, who through mid-round awareness either battens down the hatches or lets the animal within rip. And lastly, we have the wise old sage, wise enough to dampen a rush, and yet disciplined enough to bring this guy back to the clubhouse in one piece. Yes, there is momentum of the mind in golf. I don't know if you're on the way to the golf course now, or you have a game in the next few weeks that you have on your mind. What I do know, as Gail Sheehy put it, is that growth demands a temporary surrender of security. Or said in the little more damning tone of Tennessee Williams, make voyages, attempt them, because there is little else. Today, or that imminent game next week, I'd like you to be insanely optimistic. You obviously don't have to do this externally and look crazy, but internally, put yourself on a mental diet of only seeing and planning good shots that fall within your present capability. You may be disappointed if you fail, but you are doomed if you don't try. You have to practice the art of optimism, develop it, and meet all expectations as a challenge to your positive flow. I want good picture after good picture from you today. Ella Wilcox said, "And from the discontent of man, the world's best progress springs." If you're in the middle of some poor form, remember, work harder on yourself than you do your golf. You will then find a way to turn this temporary drop in performance around, I promise you. Be bluntly truthful about yourself and your golf. If you have been feeling anxious about your game or a game that's coming up, there's a reason that it's chipping away at you. Dean Inge told us, anxiety is the interest paid on trouble before it is due. You can't hide, guys. If there is something you need to take care of, then address the issue. Find a pro to help you and strip this issue from your consciousness. The saying that thought never moved a golf ball actually does have a grain of truth to it. If you are physically in a bad way swing-wise, then no matter how insanely optimistic you are, you will still hit your fair share of bad shots. Having said that, you can still put up a great fight. Anyone who saw Seve Ballesteros play Tom Lehman in the 1995 Ryder Cup singles knows that Seve didn't hit a fairway or a green for the first 8 holes, yet incredibly saw nothing but good pictures, even from the rough or behind a tree. In fact, it's likely that we have just uncovered the difference maker between the most successful players and the ones that do okay. Great picture after great picture, no matter how desperate or successful your situation is. So today, compete, play hard, but be in control. Author William McPhee told us, "The world belongs to the enthusiast who keeps his cool." The point of you playing golf in the first place is to challenge yourself, dig in when the going gets tough. Hayward Brown said that sport doesn't build character, it reveals it. So that immediately brings me back to the saying that you must work harder on yourself than you do your golf. Set your attitude to neutral as you listen to my words now. Become the child, ready to embrace fun, never to take anything too personally. Let them say of you that your ambitious nature was apparent during your fine round of golf, yet in your heart, know that it was the piecing together of your processes and shot intentions that gave you the result you will later hold in your hand. Promise yourself that no matter how good or how bad your physical game may be, that you will remain insanely optimistic and only see good picture after good picture. These are the decisions that are yours and yours alone. Nobody else has the right to think as well as you can or you choose to. Use all of the assets you have, that you have learnt, and that you may learn today for the future. Never lose control. Stamp out that fire when it comes, because it will. It will test you. And enjoy each and every challenge, whether it is to hole a putt for an eagle or a putt for a triple bogey. Both are challenges you must accept with equal energy and attention. And lastly, a word from D.H. Lawrence. Life is to be spent, not saved. So today, with control, just go for it.